Welcome to the second edition of Africa's LSP podcast, your premier podcast for the language services industry in Africa. During the first episode of the podcast, we spoke with two students enrolled in interpreter and translator training institutions in Africa. Today, we are going into the world of a translation student and we're speaking with Godwin, who is enrolled in a translation program in Benin, a country in West Africa. Godwin, we're very glad to have you for the second episode of our podcast. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much, Adi. Thank you for inviting me. Okay, so first of all, I'm Missy Ngodwin. I'm a student in translation, in the School of Translation. It's a new school. It was recently established by the English department. I think it was due to the need for translators on the field. There are very few trained translators in the Republic of Benin. I think before the school was established, there was no other training institution for translators. Something interesting about Benin, I think it's our attachment to culture. Benin is the country in the world where three religions, I think Christianism, Islam, and traditional religions are always together, and there's never any problems. We are very familiar with all of the religions, and anybody who would like to visit Benin should be ready to mingle with other cultures.
All right, so you were talking earlier about your academic program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so I was talking about my academic program. I said I'm a student in the School of Translation. There is only one national university in the Republic of Benin, although it has other branches, but it's only one that is recognized, which is the University of Abume Kalavi. And it was recently decided by the members of the English department that there was to be a translation school. 2 years back, some professors decided to make that a reality. And that is when the School of Translators in Benin came to be. I joined last 2 years and we're actually the first set. It's a 3-year course. The first year is as an English student in the English department. Then the next 2 years is a specialized translation. What else to say about the school? It's really interesting to be a student in that school because you're exposed to a lot of things, and mostly it's professors from the world of translation, from the professional world of translation that come to the school and give lectures and stuff like that.
Is it a Bachelor of Arts or it's master's program?
No, it's a Bachelor of Arts. For the time being, there's no master's program. I think there is a master's for interpretation, but there's no master's for translation.
Prior to that university, what were you studying?
Okay, my secondary school, my primary school. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, secondary school in Benin. Is there any specialization or is it general?
No, there's nothing special about secondary school in Benin. It's the same everywhere. But I think the only thing different is that for junior high school, there are 4 years. And for senior high school, there are 3 years, totaling 7 years, instead of the normal 6 years in Anglophone-speaking countries. But I didn't actually study in a Beninese school. It was more of a Nigerian school. That's why I decided to continue with translation. Okay. Seeing as I speak English and I speak both French, so I thought it would be good to continue into something that is that will use both of those languages.
So how did you come to learn English and speak it so fluently? I mean, for someone from Benin, it's quite impressive.
It's practice and the fact that I also stayed in Accra for some time. My junior high school years and primary school years were spent in Accra before my secondary school years were spent in a Nigerian school, although the school was in Benin. So I think I've been speaking English for as long as I can remember. Although when I got back to Benin, my French improved drastically. So it made it difficult to balance both English and French. Sometimes I have difficulties saying some words in English, and sometimes I have difficulties saying some words in French. So it has become a little bit like a struggle between both languages in my head, actually.
That's interesting. Now, I would like to find out more about the translation program. And I think that there are some students out there who would really like to know, maybe to learn from you in terms of your current program, how can they do better? How can they excel? Because we know it's not always easy.
Okay, so my first month as a translation student, I felt like I was in a different world. Just because of the way it was organized and because of the huge workload that we had. So first of all, we have little to no free time. So we have to be very organized and have great time management skills. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to cope. There are some weeks where each lecturer came and gave assignments. So we had like 4 or 5 assignments to submit the next day, every day. Okay, so I think one of the greatest advice that I can give to someone who would want to enroll on a translation program is to prepare to not sleep. Prepare to forgo any sleep, any time that he, or to reduce his sleeping time by at least 4 or 5 hours. Because I remember that my first year, every night I slept around 3 a.m. and I had to go to school at 8. So every day I had assignments and I have to go to school. And secondly, you have to have great writing skills and pay attention to details, because those are some of the things that are required of us who are in translation. Lecturers pay great attention to that, and you are penalized if you make certain mistakes, like grammatical mistakes that you normally are not supposed to make at your level. Some students in the program had difficulties with English. So at the beginning, we had some English classes for those particular students. Some had difficulties with French, just to raise the level of everybody to the same level. So it was really interesting. And I would really advise anybody going to translation, the only things they have to know is that they have to be prepared to forgo sleep time. They have to have great time management skills and read a lot. Another advice that one of our lecturers gave us was to always take other courses, because there are free courses on the campus that you can go, like business classes, literature, other stuffs that we shouldn't take our free time for granted. We should learn as much as possible, because it's very important in what we are doing. General knowledge, cultural knowledge, language skills, and attention to detail. That's it.
Mm. That's great. Now, in terms of the program itself, do you use any computer-assisted tools?
Yes, we do. We do. Some of the tools that were required of us were dictionaries. We needed to have a good laptop. Everybody needed to have a good laptop. It was a requirement, although all the students did not have one up to date. Some still do not have a laptop. And then we were required to have internet connections. So we used a laptop for our translations and dictionaries.
Okay. I'm talking about CAT tools that we use to translate, not particularly about the devices.
Okay, the CATs. Yes. All right. So it wasn't until this year that we were introduced to CAT tools, and it was mostly Trados. We didn't really go in depth. It was each person for his own. So the lecturer came with his own app and showed us how it works. And then we had to pay to buy a version of Trados, and then each person goes and tries to learn how to use it. That's it. That's how we introduced the CAT tools.
That's great. That's very interesting. And as we are even talking about CAT tools, there's currently this conversation going on about machines taking over human transportation, and then some are even saying that very soon we won't have any human translators, that all translation is going to be done via these automatic translation systems like Google and all that. What do you think about it?
I don't think it's possible for machines to replace humans. I think it's a debate that has been going on for a long time. And going into translation, there are many things that you have to be careful of. Like some things that you would consider to be normal in your language, I wouldn't. There are some cultural, subtleties that you have to know as a translator. I don't think a machine can portray such a thing in the right way. Like take the translation techniques, for example, borrowing, transposition. A machine cannot always do the translation right. Just take a simple example. Go on Google and try to put in a text. There will always be mistakes. Maybe they can make it, 90% mistake-free, but it will never be 100%. There'll always be a need for a human to come and read, proofread, and to revise the text. So I don't think the machine can ever replace a human being.
Well, I think aside the fact that machines might not be able to replace human beings, there's also the aspect of humans having to also up their game.
Yes, that's the good thing about machine. I think machine translation is important because it helps you to save time on translation. But what is also necessary is the human knowledge that comes after machine translation. It shouldn't be 100% machine translation and the work is over. You should be able to read through and then have a professional translator correct all of the mistakes. And as you said, humans should up their game because the machines are actually, even though we say they cannot replace human, there are big competition for translators in the game. So if we constantly think that humans can never be replaced by machines and stay on our current achievements and never try to move forward, it will be easy for machines to actually surpass us in the future. Yeah.
Aside the aspect of the state and what you're learning, do you have an understanding of the translation professional landscape, or what do some of your lecturers tell you about what is happening in the market?
In Benin, in particular, I have a vague idea of what is happening. So I'll try to explain. 90% of, at least, I don't have any backing for my statistics, but 90% of translators in the country control the translation market. What do I mean? 90% of the translators in the industry are not trained, okay? And then the rest of 10% are those who get all of the work. So it's like a select club, a closed circle. Those 10% are the ones that actually control the market. So mostly our lecturers are part of those 10% because it's actually very difficult in Benin as a translator to get any work. Everybody knows each other. Everybody knows who is more qualified. And without getting under the arms, without going to someone, a more experienced translator, it is difficult to get work. And as I was saying, 90% of translators in Benin are untrained. That is why they felt the need for our school, actually. So there is also only one national department for translation and very few translation firms in the country. The national department is called the BENIT, the National Directorate of Interpretation and Translation. So for any translation student, any professional translation student, you have to actually pass through that. That's the only way for an internship in Benin, unless you try to go outside of the country to get a professional internship. That is the only way.
Do you think that there is a lot of potential? Are you optimistic yet about your future prospects professionally?
I am. Otherwise, I wouldn't go into translation. I am. I think that is a field that offers a lot of job openings and job opportunities, because the being a translator, it makes you part of the language service industry. And after my training, I have a lot of openings I can say. Like I can work as a staff and translator in an international organization. I can work as a cultural guide. I can work as a tour guide, event manager. And other than that, I can do subtitling. So there are a lot of opportunities. Although I wouldn't say in my country that there are a lot of opportunities, if you try to go outside of your local market and try to, for example, use the tools available to you for freelance work, like Upwork, and use your LinkedIn well, then you would find a lot of jobs. At least that is what I think, and I'm optimistic about my future, so I wouldn't want to think otherwise.
Yeah, you sound like someone who is very optimistic, I mean, generally.
Yes, I am.
I would also like to know, what's your language combination? Like, what's your A language, what's your B language when it comes to translation?
That's an interesting thing. My main language is French. And my B language is English. But it's nice that you talked about it, because it's something that I forgot to talk about. In Benin, I think most of the translators have a French-English language combination. It's very rare to find other combinations outside of French-English. Every once in a while, you might find someone with a Spanish, French, or Spanish-English. But other languages are hard to find. That is also something that makes the market what it is, because all of us have the same language combinations. All of us have practically the same qualifications, and all of us are looking for the same jobs. So it makes the competition very, very tough.
So do you intend to add any other language to what you have already?
Yes, I do. I was thinking of learning Arabic, but it looks very difficult. I'm taking some classes online, but up to now, I haven't really been able to make any progress. But I will learn, make Arabic my third language.
And why is that? What's the motivation for that?
Arabic it's because of the local market, actually. Because of the way it's structured. As I said, French, English, Spanish are the main languages. And other languages that are spoken in Africa, Arabic, Portuguese, Spanish, Arabic, Portuguese, Swahili, and others are rarely learned. So I'd like to be an exception to the rule, and I hope that it will be the reason why I'll get more jobs than those who will have a simple French, English, and Spanish language combination.
That brings something to mind. I was thinking about also the local languages, because if we want to learn foreign languages, then what happens to our local languages? Are we able to actually translate in our local languages? Have you ever tried to learn how to translate locally using your local languages?
No, I haven't. I haven't. Not yet, but it's a good idea. It's a really good idea, because I don't think there's any translator on the market right now that has a friend that translates from any language into our local languages. And the good thing about Benin is that we don't really have that many local languages. So it will be a really good idea to learn that language. There's potential in it.
How many do we have? What's the name of?
We have like five, I think. Fongbe, we have Yoruba, we have Kun, we have Mina, and there are more than five. There are about two in the north. So let's say six or seven local languages.
And which of them is the most spoken?
Fongbe. Fangwe is spoken almost everywhere. I speak it too. And most of the people you would find in the capital speak it too. Now that you've said it, I will discuss with one of our trainers, one of our lecturers, and see what he thinks of that idea. Maybe this will be the source of a good idea for the future translation students in Benin.
I believe so. Godwin, it was really nice talking with you. We are very excited, and we've really learned a lot about the translation in Benin and also being a translation student. I think what I particularly liked about the advice you gave for being a translation student is taking other courses, because we really need to have a lot of background knowledge. And so when we are able to learn other courses or even to read in general on other key issues, it makes us more open and more more specialized.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you for inviting me. I hope I made some valid points.
Do you have any last comments as we are wrapping up?
Any last comment for anyone who would like to learn translation? I think it's a good thing. It's a good idea. And you should stop hesitating. Just go for it.
Just like you went for it.
Yes.
Okay, Godwin, thank you so much. Thank you for your insight. And we are so grateful to have you here.
Thank you.